This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Inspire us, God, to let go of all that is within us that is not of you, so that having emptied ourselves, we can allow you to fill us up with your love, so that, as Paul proclaims, it is no longer we who live, but you who live in us. Amen. Please be seated. Good morning. This past week in our church, on June the 9th, we observed the feast day of a great Celtic saint in our church. And those of you who have been with us on our pilgrimages to the Celtic sites know the name of St. Columba. St. Columba, who was an Irish monk who had an ego problem. And he got into some dispute about something in terms of illegally copying the Gospels. And there was a fight over the manuscript that they had copied. Well, he ends up getting involved in the fight, and he ends up killing someone. Well, as penitence for what he did, he decides he's going to leave his beloved Ireland and travel to a place far away where he can no longer see his beloved Ireland. So he comes to Iona, this incredibly gorgeous, idyllic spot off the coast of Scotland. He lands there, and as the legend goes, he goes up onto the top hill, the top dune of Iona, looks out and says, can't see Ireland anymore. Guess I'll stay here. Not too bad a place to be. Well, he continues, he starts a monastery there, and Christianity from the area of northern England, southwest Scotland, that whole area, that Christianity just blossoms forth in Northumbria. And he has a conversion experience himself, to such a point that there's another legend connected with his life, that he's talking with some monks, as the story goes. And he brags to them about how much he's fasted, how much he's done, and everything else. And he stops himself mid-sentence and says, but you know what? I just lost all credit for it because I told you all about it. He gets to a point of realizing that it is not about what I do. It is about accepting God's grace and then living a life of gratitude as a result of that. And that, my friends, is the whole point of all three readings today. Jesus gives us a lesson in logic. Now, I've given this to you before, but let's review. There is a thing called a conditional sentence. If A, then B. If that is true, that is where we start. If A, then B. If Marty is the rector of St. Joseph's Episcopal Church, then he is an Episcopalian. Okay? True. What we can't do is switch it around. If it's if A, then B, we can't switch it around and say if B, then A. If Marty is an Episcopalian, then he is the rector of St. Joseph's Church. Not necessarily so. But we can do the converse. If A, then B, you can switch it around and say, if not B, then not A. If Marty is not an Episcopalian, then he is not the rector of St. Joseph's Episcopal Church. Now, granted, on a technicality, I could be a Lutheran, but let's, for the sake of the example, leave it there. Now, take that to the gospel today. If A, then B. Jesus gives us a conditional sentence. If someone has been forgiven a lot and experienced it a lot, then they love a lot. He's talking about the woman. He's talking about this woman who, whatever her sin was, it was known, but she is in such celebration through her tears of being forgiven that Jesus wants to join her in that dance. She wants to love a lot because she's been forgiven a lot. Now, this is important. You know, she's violating a lot of laws. Women didn't let their hair down in public. She would have been the sort of extraneous people who would have been allowed to be at the periphery of this celebration because they would let people in when the rabbi was having dinner because they could stand or sit on the pillows in the periphery and listen and pick up some pearls of wisdom. Well, there must have been some understanding of who this Jesus was that she's had. And so her love is great. Now, we go to B. We go to switching it around. If B then A, you can't do that. If you love a lot, then you are forgiven a lot. To put it in the words of theology, look at the letter from Galatians today. Paul is reacting against the idea that following the law is what justifies us before God. I do this and this and this, and then I am good. And it doesn't work that way because the love is a given, the forgiveness and the grace is a given to begin with, and then we are called to respond and live a life of gratitude as a result. This is what Paul is reacting against with this whole idea, and knowing that he had lived his whole life before his conversion experience that way. Simon, as a Pharisee in the gospel story, is kind of doing the same thing, that he's got this idea, well, I invite Jesus over, I'm justified, I'm good. But as Jesus points out, look, there's certain things that are expected when you invite somebody to dinner. You'd wash their feet. You would do all sorts of things of hospitality, and Simon has done none of them. Go back to the logic. If not B, then not A. If there isn't a lot of love being expressed, then there certainly wasn't a lot of forgiveness experienced. This is Simon. He hasn't exactly done it right himself. So we have two examples. We have this woman who has been, whatever it is, done some horrible things, but now she's trying to get her life straight. And then we have over here Simon, who's trying to earn his way into heaven, it looks like, but not doing a very good job of it. But in the wisdom of our liturgical reformers, the old way ended before we got to the end of the story, really, and they've added in with our new lectionary these last lines. These are incredibly important lines that the gospel ends with that up until a few years ago, we didn't have in there. Soon afterwards, he went on through cities and villages proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him as well as some women who had been cured of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Herod's steward, Chuza, and Susanna, and many others who provided for them out of their resources. Mary, Joanna, Susanna, and many others. Incredibly important people who basically finance the work that Jesus and the disciples are out to do. Now, I'll bet if I would have asked you as you came in our cave narthex this morning as we're preparing for VCC, if I'd asked you, hey, do you know who Joanna and Susanna were in the Gospels? I bet most of us wouldn't have recognized their names. But they're incredibly important. And they are the ones, if we want to look at this whole thing in its totality, Paul got it right in the second part of his life. This woman is getting it right in the second part of her life. Simon's got a lot to learn, But if we want to look at how we're really supposed to live, it's Mary, it's Joanna, and Susanna, and all those many others who experienced the healing of God in their lives and then lived a life of gratitude faithfully until they went to heaven. This is what the call is for us. God meets us where we are, wherever that is, but he doesn't leave us there. Remember that story from Max Lucado when we did one of those last small group series? It was on grace, and he tells the story of the father being at the playground with his little girl, and the ice cream truck comes, and the father wants to go get a little ice cream treat for the little girl, and he comes back, and there she is eating the sand and the mud at the playground. And the father scoops up the girl, loves her just as she is, but doesn't leave her that way, takes her over to the water fountain and washes out her mouth so that she can enjoy the ice cream. And he uses that as the example of what God does with us. He scoops us up just as we are, but he's not going to just leave us that way, because he wants us to enjoy the ice cream. And there's some good ice cream out there, guys. I'm here to tell you. So, grace given. Some of us are at a stage in our lives where, yeah, we have experienced great forgiveness. Well, rejoice in that and love a lot. Some of us are at a stage in life where forgiveness really isn't an issue for us, but gratitude needs to be, so love a lot. We're all in this together. There's a great story that talks about God's grace being poured out, that there is really nothing that we can do to make God love us more, nothing we can do to make God love us less. But I think it makes that point where we're all together, nobody better than another. I'd like to share with you this poem. Perhaps you've seen the little movie they have of it or heard the story, but I think it is very appropriate. It's called The Cookie Thief by Valerie Cox. A woman was waiting in an airport one night with several long hours before her flight. She hunted for a book in the airport shops, bought a bag of cookies, and found a place to drop. She was engrossed in her book, but happened to see that the man sitting beside her, as bold as he could be, grabbed a cookie or two from the bag in between, which she tried to ignore to avoid a scene. So she munched the cookies and watched the clock as the gutsy cookie thief diminished her stock. She was getting more irritated as the minutes ticked by, thinking, if I wasn't so nice, I'd blacken his eye. With each cookie she took, he took one too. When only one was left, she wondered what he would do. With a smile on his face and a nervous laugh, he took the last cookie and broke it in half. He offered her half as he ate the other. She snatched it from him and thought, oh, brother, this guy has some nerve and he's also rude. Why, he didn't even show any gratitude. She had never known when she had been so galled and sighed with relief when her flight was called. She gathered her belongings and headed to the gate, refusing to look back at that thieving ingrate. She boarded her plane and sank in her seat, then she sought her book, which was almost complete. As she reached in her baggage, she gasped with surprise. There was her bag of cookies in front of her eyes. If mine are here, she moaned in despair, those cookies were his, and he tried to share. Too late to apologize, she realized with grief that she was the rude one, the ingrate, the thief. To be like the woman, we are called to love a lot. To be like Simon needs to learn to be, to know that it's about not what we do only, but starting with God's grace. But above all, to live a life like Mary, Susanna, Joanna. May we be the many others that Luke lists in his gospel today. Amen.